We're up to what's called the fifth chapter. We'll begin, as usual, we'll read with a tune and then we'll try to explain. You have the place? Whoever wants it? Yeah?
Shimu zot hakohanim v'akshivu beit Yisrael uveit hamelech hazinu ki lachem hamishpat kifach heitem lemitzpah v'reshet perusa al tavo.
The Navi is turning to the Kohanim and he's saying, you especially have to hear what I said earlier. You, the Kohanim, we said in the previous chapter about how the people will be exiled, how the people will be shamed over their pagan ways. And the Navi turns to the Kohanim and he says, you listen to what I have to say. You, Bavul, have to hear. Shimuzot HaKohanim. V'akshivu Beit Yisrael uveit HaMelech HaAzinu. Hear the house of Israel and especially the house of the king, listen. Ki lachem HaMishpat. Because you're the ones who really deserve the mishpat. Now, what does mishpat mean? We know that the word mishpat could mean justice. You're responsible for justice in the land. You should ensure that this isn't taking place. But the understanding that most of the mefarshim go with here is that the word mishpat means punishment. Rashi, in the beginning of Iyov, writes that the word mishpat has three meanings. One of the meanings is punishment. Mishpat could also mean just like that, the outcome of the court's ruling is a punishment for someone. So the word mishpat could also mean the punishment.
So who is mishpatim in the university? It's like examination board.
Now,
every time in the university, my mishpatim, who shofet?
Shofet is a judge.
But in university, it's like examination board, probably. Member of the examination board.
I don't know. So here, the Mefarshim say that what the Navi means to say is you're responsible and you're going to carry the brunt of the punishment. Kifach heyitem lemitzvah. You set up the traps on two mountains, how mitzvah and how tavor. They set up their guards to ensure that the Jews would not ascend to the Beit HaMikdash, would not go the Olel Regel. Remember, Yeravam ben Nevat, he was the first king of the 10 tribes. When the 10 tribes ceded from the king of Judea, the king of Yehuda, Shlomo, son Rechavam, so the southern part was Judea, the northern part was the northern 10 tribes, and they were under Yeravam ben Nevat. And Yeravam ben Nevat feared that if the Jews would go back to Judean territory to the temple, then the Judean king would say, you want to come to my territory to serve God? Well, then you have to accept me as king. Fearing that he would lose his throne, he set up 2 idols in the north, and he also set up guards to ensure that the Jews do not go to the temple. And these guards were on Hal Mitzvah and Hal Tavo. So the Navi is saying, Kifach heitem lemitzvah. You were the pach, you were the trap on the mitzvah, on that mountaintop, which was a mountaintop from which you could see distances, like Tzofet, to look. You were the trap on top of Mount Mitzvah, v'reshet perusa, and you were the net that was extended al Tavor, on the mountain of Tavor. Those were the two mountains where they set up their spies to ensure that no Jew ascend to the temple, to Judea. It's interesting, because we have on tradition that this didn't work. That there were generations when the guards themselves left, but for many generations it did work. Our sages say, the last king of the northern 10 tribes, he said whoever wants could go. But by then, when Hoshea ben Elah said whoever wants could go ascend to the temple, the Jews had been so inculcated with their pagan ways that no one wanted to go. You had a few centuries, you had generations that were growing as pagans in the northern 10 tribes, and when Hoshea ben Elah came along and said whoever wants to go could go, so then two things happened. One, the Jews didn't go, and two, God said, now I cannot blame the king, because the king said you could go. And that's why that generation was the generation that was exiled and destroyed, because it was no longer the king's fault. So even though on the one hand, the king is taking it out on the leaders, the Hashem says over here, you the Kohanim are responsible, you especially the king's house. On the other hand, we have to know that it was to our benefit that they had responsibility. Because the minute they said, okay, people, you want, you go, well, then it was our responsibility, and then we paid for our avirot. Pasuk bet. So the Navi says, listen, the Kohanim, the house of Israel, the house of the king, you're all going to suffer this punishment. V'shachata seitim he'emiku va'ani musar lechulam. The nation that were seitim, they turned from the way of Hashem, he'emiku, they went to depths of evil, to the point that they were sacrificing idols, they were sacrificing sacrifices to the idols, v'shachata seitim. And those that are seitim, the people who turn from the path, like sota, sote, he who turns from the path, the people who turn... Right, those who deviated from the path of Hashem, they shechted, they slaughtered animals to the idols, he'emiku, they went deep in their evil ways. Va'ani musar lechulam. God says, technically the kings didn't force them to do idol worship. They only prevented them from going to the temple. But they, the people, they made it worse. And therefore Hashem says, Va'ani musar, I will afflict lechulam to all of them, because the nation cannot throw all of their responsibility on the king. Even though the king erected idols, even though the king prevented them from going to serve in the Beit HaMikdash, but the king did not put a gun to their head and say, you must serve idols. The king made it available. The king prevented them from going to the temple. But that doesn't mean that they had no choice. They could have served Hashem in their own homes. And this is very supportive of the Chasam Sofer we've discussed many times, that the way the Anshei Knesset HaGdola abolished the Yetzer Hara for idol worship was by instituting prayer three times a day. When they instituted prayer three times a day, the Jew could connect to Hashem without having to sacrifice, without having to go to the temple, and in so doing, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola slaughtered the Yetzer Hara for idol worship. The Navi is saying, you didn't have to go for idol worship just because you couldn't go to the temple. But we know, based on the Chatam Sofer, that the people had this desire to connect to Hashem, to have Hashem in their lives, and they didn't know any other way to do it. So that's why they kept turning to idol worship.
Musar is moral.
So musar literally means to move over, lehasil. So it could mean I punish a person to move him over to teach him. It could mean I afflict a person. It could mean I could talk to the person. Ani yadati Ephraim veYisrael lo nichad mimeni ki ata hizneita Ephraim nitma Yisrael. Hashem says, I know what's in the heart of Ephraim. I know that they are willfully going after the idols. They can't blame someone else. V'Yisrael lo nichad mimeni, the Jewish people aren't hidden from me. I know what's going on in their hearts. Ki ata, for now, even though originally the king forced you, so to speak, he didn't permit you to go up to the temple, but now that your king is Hoshea ben Elah, the king is the last king of the northern 10 tribes, and he has permitted you to ascend to the temple. He has removed his guards. And now you have no excuse. Even now, when you can go up to the temple, he's neta Ephraim. You have been unfaithful. Nitma Yisrael. You have chosen to defile yourself in your pagan ways. And now you could no longer blame the king. Lo yitenu ma'alelehem lashuv el Eloheim. Ki ruach zenunim bekirbam ve'et Adonai lo yada'u. Lo yitnu ma'alelehem. They don't leave go of their ways, of their impure ways. Lashuv el Eloheim, to return to Hashem. Ki ruach zenunim bekirbam, for within them is the spirit of deviancy, of going after the idols, ve'et Hashem lo yadao, and so they don't want to know Hashem. And this is the point that we've often discussed. This is the point, according to some, the first point in the Kuzari. Hashem put a conscience within each person. Hashem put an internal compass. And when a person is not living a moral life, throughout his life, there's something within him that keeps telling him, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. He keeps looking and looking, but he knows something's wrong. And why does a person ignore that voice? Because he enjoys what he's doing. At this moment, he enjoys it. In the long run, he doesn't enjoy it. Deep down inside, something tells him, I gotta go back. But people spend their lives ignoring that voice. Lo yitnuma lelehem. They are not willing to let go of their ways. Lashuv elohim, to return to their God. Ki ruach zenunim bekirbam. For this deviant spirit is within them. Ve'et Hashem lo yadau. The Mefarshim explain, and they don't want to know Hashem. It's not that they're a tinok shenishba. They've been taken into captivity. They have no choice. They don't know. They don't want to know. Ve'ana ge'on Yisrael b'fanav. In their face, they will see how their pride is put down. Ve'Yisrael ve'Ephraim yikashelu ba'avonam. And Israel and Ephraim will stumble. And the cause of their stumbling, the cause of their downfall is their sin. Kashal gam Yehuda imam. And ultimately Yehuda too will stumble and fall together with him. Bitzonam uviv karam. Yelechu levakesh et Adonai velo yimtza'u. They will go with their sheep. They will go with their cattle to the temple, and they'll hope to bring sacrifices to Hashem, and they'll hope that this will repent and bring them close. And Hashem says, then it's going to be too late. You won't find me there. Chalatz mehem. Because Hashem says, I've left them. I've let them go. I'm not going to be there for them when they come ultimately and try to bring the sacrifices. Badonai bagadu kivanim zarim yaladu ata yocheleim chodesh et chelkeim. Hashem says they've rebelled against me, they've been unfaithful, they've taken Gentile women and brought children to the world that are not Jewish. Their children go after their mothers, they learn to be pagans. Bashem bagadu, Hashem says they've rebelled against me, kivanim zarim yaladu, because they bore children who are strangers. Ata, and therefore now, soon, yocheleim chodesh, the month that awaits them will consume et chelkehem, their portion of land. Which month is that? Which month always awaits us as the month of peril for the Jewish people? The month of Av. That's what the Navi is talking about. Because they've been unfaithful, because they've bore children that are really not Jewish, Hashem says, you've left me completely, and that month that always awaits us, our nemesis, that month that's always been our downfall, the month of Av, yocheleim chodesh et chelkehim. Tiku shofar begiva, chatzotzera barama. Warn the people, blow the trumpets, have the siren go. Their siren was the shofar, the chatzotzera. Warn them because the enemy's soldiers are at the gates. Hariu beit aven acharecha binyamin. Blow the shofar and warn the people who have sinned, and warn Binyamin after you, because the enemy is coming to the gates. The destruction is imminent. And it's interesting. When the Navi words it this way, it touches the people more. We're going to read the book of Eicha in 4 weeks. The book of Eicha was written as a prophecy. The Navi describes how Jerusalem sits as a widow all alone, and in truth, hasn't happened yet. The Navi is foreshadowing, he's telling us in prophecy, How is this city sat alone? He describes how women ate their children alive. He describes Yadeinashim Achmaniot Bishalu Yaldein, the women who cooked their own children. He describes horrible things that happened. It hasn't yet happened. The Navi is telling us what's going to happen. The whole book of Lamentations is a prophecy. Yirmiyahu writes the book, he gives it to the king long before the destruction. But when it's described as something that's occurred, when the Navi tells it as though it's happened, then hopefully it moves people more. We read it till today and we're moved by it. And so too the Navi over here says, prepare the people, blow the trumpets, the enemy's at the gates. Ephraim leshamatiye v'yom tochicha b'shivtei Yisrael hodati nemana. Ephraim will be totally destroyed. Ephraim will be desolate. Ephraim is the 10 northern tribes. B'yom tochicha, on the day that I will take them to task over their ways, b'shivtei Yisrael, and the destruction that I will bring on the tribes of Israel, hodati nemana, I will make known that I am trustworthy. I live up to my word. I've warned and warned and warned the destruction will come if you continue your pagan ways. And now I'll prove my point. Hayu sarei Yehuda kemasigei gevul. The leaders of Yehuda, they should have learned the lesson. They see the northern tribes, they've been warned, and they don't learn the lesson. The leaders of Yehuda, what do? They're kemasigei gevul, like a neighbor who tries moving the boundary. Let me take a little bit of my neighbor's lot. So too Yehuda thought, the leaders of Yehuda, they didn't learn from the punishment of the northern 10 tribes. They said, let's adopt their ways. They were like masigei gevul. Let me do like they did. Aleihem eshpoch kamayim evrati. Hashem says, and I will pour my wrath over them like water that is poured. So what we see today? We saw Hosea began the chapter by warning the leaders and saying, you will be punished because you've set the traps, you prohibited the Jews from ascending to the temple. But the Jews have at least as much responsibility as the leaders because they willfully went their pagan ways. Although the leaders prevented them from ascending to the temple, the Jews of their own volition went after the idols. They of their own volition sacrificed to the idols. And so Hashem says, especially now, when the leader is Hosea ben Elah, and he permits you to ascend to the temple, and you continue your ways, you are unwilling to leave your pagan ways, Hashem says, I will destroy Ephraim. And the tribes of Yehuda, the southern tribes, they don't learn the lesson. And so Hashem says, you know what? You're going to receive my wrath too, because you witnessed the destruction of the 10 northern tribes, and you've adopted their ways, so how more so do you deserve the wrath of Hashem? And Bezat Hashem will pick up over here next week, 11th Pasuk.